Always fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Hi, Patrick Royce. If you can't be unchained this Monday, we're never going to get you unchained.
Well, I did. I've heard people saying the Twins haven't done really anything special this year. I'd say getting shut out twice by Detroit in three games after not getting shut out by them in 89 games, that's pretty damn special, wouldn't you say? And only one of those was a seven-inninger. Yesterday, just to prove it wasn't a fluke, they got shut out in a nine-inning game against the mighty Tigers, who, by the way, I was making jokes early this year about the battle. This was going to be a season-long battle for fourth. Now Kansas City has entered the fray after their bad start.
Yes.
So it's a battle for third. But Detroit is younger, better in the field, better at the plate, way better pitching than the Twins have. It's a mismatch. It's a mismatch. I don't know how these, you know, they miraculously came back and won a couple of games against them right before the All-Star game that week. But
they swept them.
By the time the Twins get done unloading before this month's over, this is, I think they can lose 100. Don't you? I think they can lose 100. Because,
might as well shoot for it at this point.
They finished, we made the comparison to 2011. Mm-hmm. They finished 19-50 in 2011, the last two and a half, you know, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're not going to have Berríos. I think they're going to trade him. You're not going to have Taylor Rogers. They're going to trade him. You're not going to have, you know, I think they'll try to get rid of Donaldson for sure. And Cruz is going to be gone. I think they got a chance to finish 19-50. How many they got left? 79 about?
Well, and they're also playing a lot of good teams now.
Yes, real teams.
The amazing thing is the terrible start against bad teams.
What's the record now? They lost three, so I think they're,
39-53.
39-53. So they have played, is that 92? Yes, that's 92, right?
Okay.
So they have 70 left. I think they, you know, so they went and finished 19-50 the last. Let's give them one more win. 20-50. I got them at 20-50.
Mm-hmm.
59-103, tying the worst record ever that they had only, that got Terry Ryan fired, right?
Yes.
2016.
Which would be a remarkable accomplishment.
Yes, it would. You know what I saw today, and I guess it was Phil Miller's story, that this is the first time they've been 17 games out of first since 2017. Mm-hmm. That's when they made the one-game wild card.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point that year, they were 17 games out of first.
I don't remember it, but...
Yeah, but I mean, I know they were... They gave up. They traded guys, and then...
they got Garcia for the one start. You remember that?
And then they were the best team in the Central for the rest of the year. They finished strong, but they were 17 behind at one point that year. Now, I believe that the wild card game that year, they were in it with 84 wins, was it? And the Yankees were in it with damn near 100. I think there was like a 14-15 game difference in wins that year.
Yep.
So something like that. But, it was a disgrace, man. It was an absolute disgrace to the way they played this weekend. Such a disgrace. I watched about four innings in 2 days. I couldn't stand
golf
it.
Instead during the morning?
I watched a lot of golf. Yeah, I watched it. Hell, I was watching the Barbasol Open instead of them yesterday. For God, is that brutal. You know who their MVP is? Polanco. It's a small distinction.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But he's the only guy trying.
I give it no thought.
He's the only guy trying. He's, you know, he goes up and gives you an at bat each time, right?
Yes.
He's trying to give you an at bat.
Yes.
He, you know what? The phenom catcher, he's hitting 180. Jeffers. He's now down to 180.
Yeah, he's had a terrible year.
And the other guy's hitting 120.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Why are they here? Why are either of them here? Why are they? I know Garver's hurt, so okay.
Yeah.
But Willie Ostadio can't be such a horrible catcher that you'd rather have Ben Rortvedt here, who would be hitting sixth for the Meesville Mudhens. Somehow he hit a home run the other day. It was a miracle. By the way, I like him. I talked to him in Florida. Good kid.
No, it's not. It's
like
never personal.
Not personal, but he's a 5'9" guy, catcher who can't hit. He's got no chance. He's, and somebody, as I say, hit the home run, and God, it was a miracle. But what's he doing here? What's the point?
Sounds like a question about life.
What is he going to develop into?
I don't know.
If he gets more experience, he'll develop into a 150 hitter? Is that what we're hoping? That somehow
he's Glenn Borgman. I'll give him that.
Glenn Borgman, we'd be having parades for him. Now, I think these two guys are a little pluckier than Glenn was. Glenn, I covered Glenn. I love Glenn. But Glenn wanted to go back to Paterson, New Jersey, and be a fireman. He wanted to do that because that was the family business more than be a baseball catcher. He just was stuck with talent.
He had the curse of baseball talent?
Some did. Enough to get dry. I think it was like a second rounder or something like that. Big, strong catcher. It was disgraceful. It was absolutely disgraceful. And so disgraceful that even Doc Rock hinted at disappointment in the fella's effort yesterday.
Yes, he did.
It wasn't blatant, but it was Erie Curry calling me to make fun of the Twins. But we'll have to get that
close
later.
Personal friend of yours, though.
Erie Curry is a close personal friend of mine, and was fired by the Twins back in 2010 or 11. So their struggles, I don't think he finds terribly disappointing.
I'm sure there's a few people along that line that we could name.
Yes, there have. So anyway, it's unbelievable. But you do have Ohtani coming. Is anybody going to go watch Ohtani?
I'm going.
This is the damnedest.
Yes.
This is the,
it's gonna be great.
Did you didn't happen to see the replay? Or I was watching the Angels yesterday. He hit a routine ground ball to first base.
It was like Buxton
to a first baseman who was 10 feet away from the bag, and he beat it.
I know.
It was amazing.
I saw it on Twitter.
And you know, when you see Buxton running, you know he's fast.
Yeah.
But this guy, a lot of it is reaction and instinct. But I mean, I wrote this Sunday that about a month ago, mm-hmm. you know, I was the hitting and the fielding and all that. I mean, the hitting and the pitching is all that was obvious. And I'd heard somebody say, and he's fast too. So I took fast as, you know, who? Brian Dozier fast or something like that, you know, fast. Not like top five in baseball fast. Faster than Trout. And he hit a ground ball to shortstop. The shortstop, it was a little bit towards the shortstop hole, but the shortstop picked it up smooth and made a strong throw, and he beat it. And the ball was hit, you know, three hops, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. And it's a routine out, and he beat it. I said, what? What is this? And, I mean, we've never had an athlete like this. We've never had a guy.
No,
I mean, forget the pitching and the hitting, but this good an athlete. You know, he could obviously be a great outfielder if he wanted, if they play him out there. So
yes, I'm telling you,
he's got to be 220, doesn't he?
With that size, he probably is.
They're saying he's listed at like 203, which is when he was.
It's probably between 215 and 220.
Yeah, he's solid.
But I mean, this is the damnedest thing I think since just as far as freaks go, since Bo Jackson.
It is.
Because Bo Jackson was a complete freak.
Yeah, and Bo Jackson was, you know, an incredible, you know, Joe Bo was probably a half a stride faster to first base, but only a half a stride.
I mean, his arm, his ability to play two sports.
Yes.
You know, now Ohtani does two things, which is incredible.
Yeah.
But it's just that nature of you watch it and you're all amazed.
I got news for you. This kid could be a football player if he wanted to be, mm-hmm. you know, with that size and that, you know, he could be a tight end, put another 15 on him and he would be something. But, he's worth it. I would guess he's going to pitch. He's pitching tonight and he's been pitching every 6 days, so he should pitch Sunday.
Okay, good.
I would think. And yet it'll give him enough time because he's pitching Monday. Sometimes they give him the next day off. Sometimes they don't. But he should be DH and at least Thursday and Friday, and then pitching Sunday, I would guess.
It's going to be one of the few reasons to go to Target Field the rest of the summer.
So, Berríos talked to the fellas. I didn't know, at least Phil had the story. I imagine he might have did a little session down by the dugout yesterday. But he basically laid down the gauntlet. Mm-hmm. No bargain.
Which didn't surprise me one bit.
No. He's not. I mean, they renegotiated with Kepler and Polanco, and he was looking around waiting for his deal then. But he didn't want to give up free agency, you know, time.
Right.
So they didn't make a deal with him. But I think you'd have to blow their socks away to get him at the end of this month. I think they're yes. gonna. I think you'd have to get it up, but there's no chance they're gonna sign him after Lance Lynn gets $19 million a year.
I agree with you.
He's
right.
I don't know if 25 does it. I don't know if 25 a year does it. So, I think it might have to be higher.
So if they don't trade him, what are they doing? Because I think you're right. I don't think you're going to. Now, if you thought you had a chance to sign him, I'd keep him.
No, you don't.
But his comments now are reflective of how he's felt, which is, one, he wants to be paid like an ace.
Yeah, and the other quote was, I've been waiting and
waiting. Well, you know what he thinks? And he might not be wrong. He thinks the Twins are cheap. Because he's made comments before that have shown that he's not thrilled. And the last thing, I'm sorry, but the manager treats him like he's the fourth starter.
Yeah,
like there have been a lot of times where I'm sure he wants trust.
Yeah,
and you get the old A's.
But
great job.
Here's the most shocking thing that he said yesterday: they haven't talked to him yet. The Twins have not talked to him and his agent yet.
Yeah,
for this year, aren't you taking your best shot between now and the July 30th?
Yes.
I mean, this is it, right?
I assumed that when...
Look at your pitching staff. You have nobody else. You don't have another starter. You got a number two and 12 zeros. You got 12 10 starters, and he's the only one you got.
Didn't you assume when the Ken Rosenthal report on Buxton came out on Friday that they were talking to, that they had to be talking to both Buxton and Berríos?
Yeah. Yeah, well, Buxton is. I mean, do you think the way to get Buxton signed is to insult him?
No.
with an offer that has no chance?
No.
He's already mad at you from 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's deep in his heart. I think they both would like to leave. Well, I think they both would like to leave.
Then get something for one of them right now.
Well, here's the problem, though. You got to get something. You can't... On neither of them, though, can you take Dialis, Guerra, and whoever the hell the guys were. I can't remember who they get from the Mets for Johan.
Oh, I don't remember.
You
the
can't
names.
Make that kind of a deal. You got to get.
Yes.
If somebody wants Berríos, it has to be a good farm system where they're giving you their third best and their sixth best or something, right? You might not get their one, their first or second. They're going to have to give you two of their top six, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of whom is close, right? And then with Buxton, you might have to take a little less, but, you know, because I wouldn't trade Buxton. I would wait and make him, you know, see if he can play some games and increase his value for the trading market in December.
I would like them to keep Berríos if I thought there was a realistic chance they could sign him, but the story that came out to me leads down the path of there's not.
Yes, and I don't think there was any surprise in that. I didn't.
How are they not talking to him?
I don't know.
That's what I don't understand.
I do not know how these guys operate. I'm a little confused by them. Now, I'm wondering if they might say, well, we did ask, they won't say, they keep secrets on this stuff, but they might tell you off the record that they asked the agent if he wanted to start negotiations and he said no or something. It sounds like he doesn't really, it sounds like he wants to be a free agent and see what's there, you know.
And I don't blame him for that.
Which, of course, also hurts you when you're trying to trade him. If the agent's telling people he's going to become a free agent, you know, no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but That's always an idle threat. If you give a guy enough money, he'll sign with you.
Do you believe the...
Who wants him? Who? Where will he go? Who needs him?
Right now? If they turn him by July 30th?
Yeah. Who?
I mean, the Mets could use him.
Houston.
Toronto.
Houston could really use him. Houston, if they want to win.
Yeah.
And this is... But they got Correa walking already.
Yeah.
And they probably
don't want to pay him.
Don't want to... But they would trade for him trying to win this year, you know, if they would put a trade for him, and if, you know, and then maybe next year, but they wouldn't sign him, but they would try to win with him, and it'd be interesting to see who would, you know, what they give up. The other amazing angle on this team is Sano. Not planned.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah.
They're not. Yeah,
I mean, batting him eighth.
Yep.
When
he plays.
Yeah.
Pinch hit for him on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. Arise pinch hit for him
against a right-handed pitcher.
So I missed the Donaldson Arise spat in the dugout.
That was good.
Did they show it on TV?
Yes. I think they had to because
was it on national?
No. I think it was. I believe their feed is coming from Detroit.
Oh.
So
okay.
I don't think they have their own cameras now. Because during the course of the game Saturday, we got about 18 shots of a very drunk, celebrating former Tiger reliever Phil Koch in a suite.
He was in,
and they kept showing him celebrating. And finally, Morneau said, "That's Phil Koch, the former." So I think they are taking the feed from Detroit. So they came back from a break and showed what Arise did to tick off Donaldson.
Because Arise was jumping around.
He was jumping around, and he turned his back. He turned his back to home plate to look at where the outfielders were positioned, and he wasn't taking a lead. Really, he was right by the bag because he didn't want to be caught off base. And Donaldson called timeout, and then they showed between innings they started talking in the dugout about it.
Mm.
And Josh was gesticulating at Arise, and then they went down the tunnel and talked about it. So,
okay. So it wasn't like they're going to come to blows.
No. It was. Yeah. I think Arise was trying to explain himself, and Donaldson said, my guess is Donaldson said, I don't care. Don't be moving around at second base when I'm trying to hit.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame him for that. But Morneau should be able to identify Phil Koch because he probably faced him 25.
Yep.
Every time he came up in the seventh inning against Detroit for 5 years, he probably ran into Phil Koch. So. Phil was overserved in the suite.
It looked like he was
very happy for the Tigers.
You would have thought the Tigers were really good in beating a good team. But they kept showing it. There's no way that Bally would have shown
third place for the Tigers would be a fantastic. Put A.J.
Hinch. I like A.J. Hinch.
Put A.J. Hinch in the contention for manager of the year.
You know what? I think he's going to be good. I think they're going to pop up.
I think he's a good manager.
I think they're going to pop up and be pretty good by next season.
I think he's a good manager. And the whole thing in Houston knocked some of the arrogance out of him because he was an arrogant.
Oh, was he?
He was a very good manager, but very arrogant.
Well.
Arrogant. So how about, this is, whew. When do the Vikings hit the field?
A week from Wednesday.
Another week, huh?
Another week, yep. We're starting late July.
Is it? Because of the players, they're starting later now?
You know, that's a good one.
July 20th or so with 3 days of rookies? And then
it was ordinarily it used to be what would be the end of this week, like Friday, Friday. And it might be the pandemic, too. I don't know. It's a good question.
I bet it's the players. It's some of the things that the players were able to.
I have never been so excited for training camp to start as I am right now.
Yeah, but I don't like it because it's here.
Oh no!
I mean, there's no vibe to it, you know. Hey, we're going to Mankato. Mm-hmm. Go down to Mankato, see the boys. Let the fans show up. You know, let Mettlers do a little business.
They're going to charge for some practices this year.
Yeah, I know. They're unbelievable. The profiteers of all time, and they get the poll ads. Always get hell for being cheap, and nobody gets mad at Ziggy. Charging you for, you gave him a free $1.15 billion stadium. He wrote out a check for $42.50. Everything else came from you and the, you know, sponsors and everybody else. He spent nothing. And now he's making $200 million a year. And you're saying, if he's going to charge me $15.
People don't care.
$15 from practice, they don't care. No.
I was told they do not care.
No. Yeah, it's true.
And there is nothing worse than football practice. It is watching paint dry.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing, if they're doing something on the main field out there and letting you sit in the stands, unlike Mankato on the practice fields, you could see a little, whatever they were doing, you would at least be able to see it. Because in Mankato, when they put you in that bleachers and they were practicing out there.
Well, that was Chili. Chili would move them. So there were three fields. He'd move them to the middle. He'd them on the third field sometimes by the dorm. And the fans are clear back. Yeah, that was.
What do we do? And they got it figured out so you can't hound them for autographs, too, right?
Well, because of the pandemic.
Last year they didn't.
They might be throwing autograph stuff into the crowd.
Okay.
So
they're not going to do them.
Nope. I think they're going to try and get former players to do it, but they're not going to have current players.
Oh, really?
So those things are out, and I think they're going to.
Boy, that'll really make the players sad.
Oh yeah, they'll
hate that.
They're going to be very, very upset that they can't sit there for however long they sat there and sign autographs.
Mm-hmm. Well, until what? 15 years ago, it was just a gang fight.
Oh yeah,
for the autographs. Then they started having tables and stuff and tried to limit it.
Yeah, when I started, I think the whole thing was a free-for-all of people standing on the road there in Mankato, on the sidewalk, trying to get the players as they rode their bikes back to where they were in the shower.
Or when they were walking across the street after practice.
Doing. Yep.
But, you should go someplace, although Green Bay hasn't gone anyplace for what?
Ever.
25 years. They used to go to St. Norbert's.
Yeah, well, but they still claim that that's their training camp headquarters because they still stay there.
Oh, but they don't practice.
But they don't practice there. They practice right at the fields right. The practice field right by
Lambeau. We aren't getting daily updates on A-Rod, on Rodgers.
Yeah,
there's nothing going on, I guess.
Murphy was asked about it. Mark Murphy, who's the president, was asked about it last week at the shareholders gathering that they do. And somebody clearly told him to shut up because he said there's really nothing to report on that now.
Oh,
before he couldn't shut up.
Yeah.
So somebody finally said, look, every time you open your mouth or write something, you're pissing them off.
This is Ricey for the Canopy Group. For the past 163 years and even more, Minnesotans have been enjoying all this great state has to offer. From Niagara Cave to the Lake of the Woods, outdoor adventures abound. Minnesota spans more than 83,000 square miles. It's great we can experience a state so rich in landmarks, landscapes, art, and adventure. With so many adventure options, it got us thinking, why are so many Minnesotans limiting their home and auto insurance options? Today, 80% of Minnesotans have their insurance with just one agent who has only one company to deal with. You have no options. At the Canopy Group, we offer you more than 16 companies for your home and auto insurance and 30 professionals to deal with. As your needs change, we have options that continue to provide you with the best coverage for the best price. You wouldn't want to fish in only one of Minnesota's 10,000 lakes, and we don't want you to be stuck with only one insurance company. Visit thecanopygroup.com or call 800-967-3389 and get the best insurance options available today. Well, they got to make up their mind, though, if he's not there for 2 weeks, right?
Yes.
They're going to start fining him?
They'll threaten to, yeah.
Yeah.
And then if he comes back, they'll probably forgive the whole thing. But they've got to, at some point, because there's a bunch of people that still think he's going to show up. I'm not so sure he's going to show up.
No. I don't think
he's as headstrong as it gets.
Yeah. But how much of his money can they go after?
Well, if he doesn't show up, they can go after
not the whole signing, just a prorated.
Yeah, probably prorated. Yeah.
So,
but I mean, he'll forfeit obviously his entire salary for the season if he doesn't show up.
Yeah,
not playing.
Now he could, but if he would have opted out the COVID thing, then he couldn't have. He can't change his mind on that, right?
Correct.
He would have had to not played this year.
Yes, right? And that was July 2nd.
And if he had not played this year, then what?
Then I think
then
they
become a free agent?
No, I think they told the contract.
They just, the NFL just.
Like, I think Pierce's contract, when Michael Pierce didn't play for the Vikings last year, I think his contract just stopped and transferred to 2000.
So it just became a year longer?
Yes.
But which gives them an extra year to not pay him if they want to get out from underneath it. So. Well, I think they're going to be good, and I have no interest in going out and watching them and listen to the cliched quote. So it's.
I think we're still.
Are they going to be Zoomer?
I was just going to say, I don't know how we're doing this yet. They have not released official media rules yet.
Not that there's a hell of a lot of difference.
Well, yeah, but I like talking to people.
Yeah, but if you can get in a locker room and talk to a guy sitting there, but
right.
having him go to a podium with
but I like
people
Zim,
around.
But I like Zim not being Zoomed because yes. the problem with Zoom, no follow-ups.
Yep.
You know, you ask your question, they cut your mic.
Yep.
With Zim, because Zim, your goal is to get him going.
Oh, sure.
And then keep him going.
Mm-hmm. What was the, 2 years ago, what was the controversy out there that he was, it was easy to get him mad about? Kickers? Maybe kickers. I don't know. What was it?
Sure.
I mean, it was out there. But it was
take
in
your pick of the year.
It was in training camp, and he was irritated one day, and he was, he came out. That's when he made everybody walk around a building to do the, you
oh,
know,
that's right.
do the interviews. And then he was, you know, and then he said something disparaging about all the media that was, you know, there. And I like Jim when he's pissed.
Yeah.
I do,
he's,
too.
He's ordinarily pissed, too.
Yeah.
I think he wakes up pissed.
Mm-hmm. He's, and he should really be irritated this year because this is it if they don't.
Oh, yeah.
I think beyond, I yes. think they got to win a game. I think they got to win a playoff game.
I think they have to win at least one.
Yeah, I do too. I think getting in the playoffs is not going to get her done.
If they have everybody healthy and they do exactly what they did 2 years ago, so they beat the Saints in the first round, and then they go to San Francisco and get their ass kicked, which they did.
Yes.
I think that might not be enough. Now, if you lose a close game to San Francisco, mm-hmm. that's different. But they got embarrassed.
Yes, they did.
Well, I'm not sure that keeps you around.
That's
anymore.
Been a Zim tradition.
I know.
The last game of the season.
That's what I'm saying. Is that
what was the last game of the season last year? Was it another humiliation?
No, it was Detroit, and both teams didn't care, and the Vikings won.
Vikings won. But basically, every year, whether it was the regulars, well, the Bears here, was the worst.
Yep.
And when they could have made the playoffs. But Philadelphia, San Francisco, yeah, they pretty much, the tradition has been to, the last one's been a oinker. But what is he tenure-wise now? Third behind, he's third, right?
He's be yeah.
He's only behind Dennis and Bud.
And, I'm sorry. I thought you meant the league right now.
Oh, the league right now. He's probably got to be top
he's
five.
He's pretty high, yeah.
He's third because this is year seven, right?
Yep, because Van Brocklin was six.
Van Brocklin, six. And Burnsy was six, right? Burnsy was 86 to 91.
Yep.
Yeah, they had 2 sixes. So he's third. So, you know, what the hey? It'll, you know, I think the stuff they did in the offseason was pretty impressive, what they did with their defenses. They got every run stopper, pass rusher they could get their hands on. A lot of it depends on Hunter's neck, obviously.
Yep.
Who else they got to rush the passer now? Hunter and
the right
else?
End, they really don't have one. They tried to sign a couple guys in free agency and couldn't do it. So they're gonna use Sheldon Richardson inside in passing situations.
Yeah, that's good.
Now Pierce, one
of the big oafs out of the way. Right?
Now Pierce can't rush the passer, but there was an Ian Rappaport report today. He hurt his calf, and we don't know how long he's out.
He hurts his calf. That's a lot of calf.
That's what Declan was
fella.
Saying. That's what Declan said.
That's not a little tweak from, Nick Gordon. That's not like Nick Gordon tweeting his calf. That's for sure.
That's exactly right.
So who's the guy that we called and brought in last year to replace Danielle that went traded 6 weeks later and ended up leading
Ngakoue.
Him in sacks anyway?
And,
yeah, where's he now?
He is in Las Vegas.
He went to Baltimore.
They traded him to Baltimore. And he
didn't do much?
No. He had a bad year for him. And then I think Vegas signed him to a pretty big contract in free agency.
And they ended up, giving up a two and getting back a three?
Yeah.
So they only lost. Oh, okay. All right.
But it turned out he didn't like to stop the run, so that's a problem.
How many did our guy, Rick, how many draft choices this year? Way below 15, right? Only about 10?
Well, they didn't have because they lost their, they lost a seventh round pick in some type of illegal league activity. So they.
What was the illegal league activity?
I don't think they had a pick, Pat. I don't think they had a pick after the fifth round. I think they had picks in the fifth round. And then Rick, who's known for his love of seventh rounders, didn't have one.
Hmm.
Hold on a second. I'm trying to find here for you. Vikings in seventh round pick and penalty. See if I can find it quickly.
I believe it had something to do with a practice squad signing. Like, I think it wasn't giving Jake Browning too much money, but it was some type of weird thing where they gave extra money to a undrafted free agent.
They violated the salary cap. No, I can't do that. It stems from good job, Dex. The violation stems from a practice squad player's contract in 2019. We don't know what, though.
Not as good as when Suchi Boy cost him a third-round draft choice when he was the beat guy out at Midway Stadium.
Oh, I don't remember this. What
linebacker named Paul Harris.
Yeah?
And this was back when you could only have one-day tryouts, right?
Okay.
And Such noted that Paul Harris was there for the second day on his tryout, not having any knowledge that this was it. And the NFL used to get the newspapers and look for stuff. And Such, Such ended up costing him a third rounder. I think it was a third rounder. Paul Harris, I think, was the guy's name, a linebacker that he innocently wrote like one sentence about.
Oh, my God.
And I guess excuse Sid for his, Joe for his naivete.
You would be banned from the facility life.
For life now,
You'd
yes.
be like the guy that threw the ball at Verdugo in Yankee Stadium and said he'd never get back in.
This was when they were practicing at Midway, so it had to be before the twin season was done, sometime in early September. And I don't know how soon it came down, but I think maybe it was almost after the end of the season they announced that before the draft that the Vikings had lost a third rounder because of illegal tryout for Paul
Suits
Harris.
Was a Hawkeye when it came to looking for violations.
I'm sure he was saying, who's that guy? And so,
how mad was Sid?
Well, I'm sure Sid was very upset with him. It cost him a third rounder. Yes, he was very upset.
Great.
I think it was a third round. Maybe it was further down. I'll have to. But he did cost him a draft choice. That's for sure.
Did you see the graphic on Saturday? You probably didn't. That our friends at Bally Sports North put up.
This is during the shutout.
No, the pregame before the doubleheader on Saturday. I'm looking at the graphic right now, but it is an all-timer. You're going to love this.
Is it very positive?
It takes positive to a new level.
Okay.
It's titled, so up top, second half surge, ?
Okay.
And then below that it says, just for a point of reference, wild card era began in 1994. Okay. So it has the Twins 12 games back in the wild card race. Then the next thing is, 53-20 record in second half, a .726 win percentage would get you to 92 wins.
Okay, that's probably unlikely.
Then they've got the best 73 game stretch in MLB since 94, the Diamondbacks 52-21 in 1999.
Okay.
And then the lowest win total to make the playoffs since 94, the Padres 82 wins in 2005.
Okay, they were trying to say that it ain't over yet. Huh?
Yep. In fact,
so what would it cost to get? What would it take to get to 82 then? Because they lost three, so 39. So at that point, they were 39-50. Right?
Yes.
So to get to 82, they would have had to go 43-some.
It's very unlikely as well.
Yes. So they're on. It's going to be a tough. It's going to be a tough second. It's going to be a tough last 40% of the season for the boys trying to sugarcoat
this. There's going to be no one
there,
and there's going to be no one at the ballpark.
Look at this. 40% of your audience can't watch the games.
Yep. They're the lucky
and
ones.
Now you're terrible and everybody hates you. Because we're all part of this. We built up this team. Is this the year? And now you're terrible, and you're going to lose 100 games. It's going to be they celebrated. We're open full house week, and I think they had 26 one night, right? One night.
Yes, I think you're right.
Saturday night they had 26.
Yes,
I'm curious as to if Ohtani will put any people in the ballpark, even though he uses an interpreter, and that might cause people to.
Stephen A. Smith. Unbelievable. Yeah, the interpreter really bothers me. Yeah. Can't watch him play because of the interpreter.
No,
Do you know how much faster he'd be without an interpreter?
All the time he was beating out that two-hopper to first. Man, if he only had an interpreter, didn't have an interpreter, we could talk to him about this.
You know how fast he'd be then?
Yes, right. Jeez.
That was among the stupidest.
Yes, and he wouldn't shut up. I listened to the tape. He went on and on and on. I wrote Sunday. He quadrupled down on it. Yes. He just kept going. And then, you know, there's no doubt, and I wrote this, there's no doubt to me that Stephen A. went home, was laughing at the reaction, and saying, take that, Skip. Take that in your LeBron's overrated hot take, Skip. Take that, baby.
You know, Skip's really not evolving for how much Skip is getting paid now.
God almighty.
He's sticking with the hits.
What, 6 mil or something?
Yeah, well, and did you see what Stephen A. gets? He gets 8 base and 4 more in incentive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He makes 12 a year.
Yeah.
$12 million a year.
And, well, Skip must be making the damn, because they tried to put Skip, back. They were going to have him and Skip back to, go back to arguing with each other.
They
right?
were, yes.
Skip is, as I said Sunday, the LeBron's overrated. He's got to get a new one, because you can't, LeBron's overrated and you can't win with him. That ship has sailed. We're not really, we're more worried about the Bucks and the Suns right now. By the way, they're not in any hurry, considering how late the season started and the playoffs started, to finish these NBA finals. But Suns and Bucks have been great.
We are not too far from back to school time. Always an exciting and busy time of the year, finding classes, figuring out schedules, and parents helping college-bound children with everything from expenses to housing to transportation. Here's a suggestion to make campus life a lot easier for the younger scholar in your life. A Bintelli scooter from EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Bintelli scooters are the fun, economical way to get around campus and town. They can be parked like a bicycle, so no need to worry about finding parking spaces or paying pricey parking fees. Bintelli scooters were created to offer the highest quality at the most affordable prices. Take advantage of the lowest prices of the year with EcoFund's back-to-school sale on Bintelli scooters starting at just $10.99. Looking for greener transportation solutions? EcoFund also carries a full line of lightweight, dependable electric Bintelli bicycles. EcoFund, specializing in economical, fun transportation at prices for everyone's budget. Check out the back-to-school sale now at EcoFund Motorsports Forest Lake. Online at EcoFundMotorsports.com.
It has
been terrific.
But why they don't play every other day,
I have no
drives
idea.
Me crazy. Yes. But it is a great, it's a fun finals.
That game four, Thursday, right? Or
yes.
Is it Wednesday?
No, it was Wednesday. Because they played Wednesday, Saturday.
Hand-to-hand combat, man.
Yes.
That was a brutal battle. They had some referee. They had some old-time, I don't know who was refereeing, but they had some old-time bad boy era referees, man. You went to the basket, and you better come out of there bleeding, else you weren't going to get a foul. It was really something. And this center for Phoenix, he ain't backing down from anybody either.
Oof, no,
he's
DeAndre
good.
Ayton.
Yeah,
I really
Ayton,
like him.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, I don't think Devin Booker is calling up and telling his team that they got to get him Cat to play in the middle.
No,
I think he likes what he's got.
No, I think he's fine. I think he's absolutely fine.
But, boy, talk about old school. Bucks haven't won it in 50 years, and the other teams never won it, and they came in the league together. I haven't seen a lot about the Lou Alcindor-Neil Walk
controversy. That's it.
I haven't heard anybody talking about that. Phoenix should still be mad. They lost the coin flip. They got Neil Walk instead of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bucks.
And Kareem's been back at games.
Yeah.
Saw him and the Big O a couple games ago.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, a bunch of the guys who were on that championship team went to, would have been game four in
the
Pfizer Forum.
The Bucks and that Oscar and him was one of the great combinations of all time. Oscar was still really good then. And, you know, he was a rebounder, assist, scorer type of guy. He was one of the first. Well, before there were triple doubles, and we made a big deal out of it, he was a triple double guy. He
averaged one for an entire season, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe he did.
Early 70s, maybe?
Great player. Cincinnati Royals. Cincinnati. Yeah. Funny thing is, Cincinnati won the national title, I believe, the year after he left back then.
Yeah.
Then Ohio State and them were the two big powers, and I think They had a center named Paul Hogue, who was great, but I think they won it with Did they win it back to back? I don't think they did. They won it. They upset Ohio State somewhere along the line, and I think Oscar was gone by then. I don't think Oscar won it. I think Oscar was, you know, made him very prominent and very.
And the Royals went where? Or who did they become?
Rochester Royals became the Cincinnati Royals, became the Kansas City Kings, became the Sacramento Kings. So they moved four times. But Rochester, New York Royals were the Lakers' main rivalry because geographically the NBA was a bit screwed up because the Rochester Royals, much like the Baltimore Colts in the NFL, were in the West. They were in the West.
Really?
Yeah, they were in the West.
The NBA Rochester has a Royal. Great history.
Yes.
It's a great history.
Oh, it does.
And it was so small time.
You know, well, the Lakers, God love them, all those titles, at least two, maybe three of the years came there. It was an eight-team league.
Boston, too, yeah.
It was an eight-team league.
The Russell years?
Yes, eight-team league.
Look at the playoffs.
Well, the Lakers, their last year here, went 25-50 and made the playoffs. They were the third.
The NHL's embarrassed.
Because three out of four teams made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they made the playoffs. And then they won. Then they beat Detroit, I believe, in a best two out of three type miniseries. And then, I'd have to look this up, but they played the St. Louis Hawks in the finals with Pettitte. And they ended up losing. But I think they... I think they won a game or two in the in their last series. I think they were like, and the year before they'd also had a losing record, and they made the NBA Finals by beating the Hawks in a great 7-game series, and then lost, then got swept by the Celtics in 59. But in 60 they were 25-50 their last year here, made the playoffs.
Did everybody make the playoffs? I take it
three out of four. The number one seed wouldn't play, and the second and third place finishers would play two out of three, I think.
Okay,
and so the Lakers beat the Pistons, I think, in Pistons who originally were in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
They were the Fort Wayne Pistons, and then they began, and because of car manufacturing down there, and then so it was a natural move. They didn't have to change the nickname because
it worked perfect.
Detroit, it worked perfect in Detroit. But you go back and look at the Lakers' early years, like when they were in that other conference, their first year they were in the NBL, the National Basketball League, and then there was the Basketball Association of the Americas, which is considered the forerunner of the NBA.
So not the NBA.
So the Lakers, their first title does not officially count in NBA records because they won. They give them credit for five, and they won 6 out of 7 years. But the, you're playing Anderson, Indiana, and Oshkosh, and
it's like a CBA schedule.
Yeah, look at the CBA teams are. Teams. That's it. The basketball was. There was just this little.
Yeah.
The only time they packed their arena was, you know, if they got the finals or something, they would. But the only time they packed it is when they played the Globetrotters in serious games. They played the Globetrotters in, you can look it up, 50, 51, 52, something like that. They played in Chicago Stadium, 19,000. And it was like the hottest ticket of all time the first time they played. And I think the Globetrotters beat them the first time. And then they got them back up here and jammed the arena. And I think they played Stewie Thornley's got all this stuff in his books. But they I don't know how many times they played them. But when they were desperate years later, like they when they were really good and the Globetrotters were playing fairly serious basketball with the greatest black players in the world, then the NBA started integrating and it hurt the Globetrotters. But they tried to play them again in like 56 or 7 to get some interest and get some people, but by then the Globetrotters were a comedy act. But when they first played, it was like, this is going to decide who's the number one.
Like the champion.
Pro basketball team in the world. The Globetrotters are the Lakers, yeah. There was, you know, they were that was a huge. Basketball was weird back then.
I love all the moves, though. Like the Buffalo Braves eventually went out to, San Diego?
Yeah, they went to they were the Buffalo Braves, went to San Diego, and then became the Clippers.
The Clippers,
right?
Yes, in San Diego. Because when I was a kid, they were the Clippers. They were in San Diego.
Yeah.
And then in the 80s, early 80s, moved to Los Angeles.
How does San Diego, a town like the fifth biggest town in the country, end up with the Padres and nobody else?
No idea.
It's unbelievable.
I have no idea.
I mean, how do you lose the Chargers, for God's sakes?
Right. Well,
My favorite AFL team, the Chargers. Watching those games before your time, but they played on Balboa Stadium, and they have the cameras, and it's up there on a hill. A mile probably off the water, but they'd have the cameras and they'd show you the water, and it'd be beautiful Sunday, sunny afternoons in November and December, and they had these powder blue unis.
Love the powder blues.
And they threw it all over the place.
Lance Allworth, yeah.
And they had Bambi Allworth was my favorite player, and they'd go whoosh, whoosh. And we were watching in Minnesota. Now, this was fold up maybe a year or two I was there, but we got the Bears, the boar-ass Rick Caceres, black and white, God, this stinks, Bears. And all of a sudden, this other league comes along, and we got Kurt Gowdy on Sunday afternoons, and they're throwing it all, Daryl LaMonica and these guys are throwing it all over. This is great. This is football. Plus, we love the Rose Bowl team, right, and all that stuff, and we love college football. But Sandy Stevens was an All-American quarterback, and he threw 9 passes a game. Mm-hmm. You know, they ran the option, kind of the really tight option back then.
Zim loved it, I'm sure.
But it was, football was, somebody should tell the truth. Football was boring as hell until the AFL started. Mm-hmm. They changed the game because they said, you know, what? Defense wins championships. Bull crap. Mm-hmm. That they're the first league that says, let's outscore the other team.
They also had some great, at that time, young minds. Al Davis was
he's a football
fantastic
genius.
Offensive mind.
Yeah, he was. He was a football genius. Sid Gilman, who's Sid's buddy from North Minneapolis, was he was the first Chargers coach. And I don't know if he was first, but he was when they got good. And he was a passing guru, genius type of guy. Dark and I were out at La Costa in all our glory in the sauna one day, and Sid Gilman came in. Sid Gilman was there every day. Sid, old Sid, showing off his wrinkled old equipment because he was, a bunch of other old Jewish guys in there. And he started telling stories about North Minneapolis and growing up in North Minneapolis and stuff. We were in there with him for 2 hours. It was
great.
It was great. Yeah. He was 85 then, probably in his 80s then, but it was, we got a 2-hour seminar on North Minneapolis and how he became this. Unfortunately, I didn't have my notebook with me in the
no,
sauna.
No, that's probably, yeah.
In the sauna, but.
You can be forgiven for that.
But I did have fun going back and telling Sid that I'd spent 2 hours with Sid Gilman, and he remembers you, Sid. He remembered you, instead of telling him how he was telling Sid stories for an hour,
Right.
But he remembered you. I was surprised he remembered you. But Sid was campaigning for him to be the Gopher coach at one time because he was an assistant at Ohio State. And then I think he was also campaigning for him to be the Viking coach, but a Jewish guy in Minnesota in the early 60s, they weren't going to do that. There was still a anti-Semitic vibe around here in the U and everywhere else. They weren't going to give him the job. So that was, of course, he was also trying to get Bud Wilkinson to leave Oklahoma and come back and coach.
You told me about that, yeah.
Yeah, he claims that, of course, just like he had Bill Russell all locked
up. And Wooden, right?
Yeah, he had Wooden, Bill Russell, And he had Wilkinson if the administration had only done what they told them to do.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake is hosting the 2021 Land O'Lakes Legends Classic August 6th and 7th. See some of the greatest names in the history of women's golf as they compete in the inaugural Land O'Lakes Legends Classic presented by the Meadows at Mystic Lake. The Legends of the LPGA Tour is known for its fan-friendly environment with lots of opportunities for autographs, limited roping, and photo ops after the rounds. To learn more about the August 6th and 7th event, stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com, owned and operated by the Shakopee Minwakanton Sioux community.
I told you when I wrote the book, right? It was great. So we're trying to get the book done. And Katie and I go out to this town on west in California. It's near the Hearst Castle down the street. I can't remember I think the town's named Cambria.
Okay.
But it was a just kind of a quaint little place, and we were right on the ocean, and I was going to write for like 5 days, and we were going to stay there and do nothing that we're doing there. So one night I'm hacking away, and he's gotten the Gophers to the Rose Bowl, and he's gotten the Twins here, and he's done numerous other things. And I said, I'm going into the You transcribed it.
Yes.
I'm going into the Viking stuff. I don't think he can take credit for getting the Vikings here because Katie was going to bed at 1 a.m. I said, but I'll let you know when you wake up.
Yep.
So next morning, I don't know, roused her and saw her about 10 in the morning and said, I was wrong. He brought the Vikings here too, dear.
If I recall correctly, too, strategically, I believe that the book was worked on right after Max Winter had passed.
Yeah, right.
So Max, who was the one guy who could have refuted everything, was no longer with us to refute anything.
And now Johnny Kudla and Vern Mikkelson would dispute Sid basically being the chancellor and making every decision to go with the Vikings. They would dispute that. But then Johnny, late in life, and I mean way late in life, late 90s, he lived to be 100.
Wow.
And called me up one day and said, I want you to write a story and give Sid credit for everything. I said, what the hell's wrong with you? No, then I called up one of his kids because I know that. I said, what is he doing? He says, well, he's near the end of his life and he doesn't want to have any, he wants to. It wasn't that he wanted to tell the truth.
Right.
It was that he didn't want Sid to have bad feelings. He didn't want people to have bad feelings about him. And he was a strong, strong Catholic.
Yeah, I was going to say that's Catholic.
It was like his last confession.
That's a religious thing.
That he was going to give Sid full credit because he'd...
Did you tell him you couldn't?
I said, yeah, I'm not interested.
I can't be doing that.
I can't. No, I'm a twice-a-year Catholic, Johnny. Yeah. I got guilt, too. I can't tell that lie.
It's journalistic perjury is what
yes,
it is.
Right. Oh, Mikkelson, though, was more outspoken.
Do you remember you told me... So after I got done transcribing, we had a bunch of... I don't know if they were testimonials or what at the end of the book.
Yeah.
And you asked me to get a few of them, like to call people.
Yeah.
And one of them was Vern. And so I called, and I'm a kid.
Yeah.
I was Vern, and I didn't know. I didn't know background. Vern, I'm doing this thing with Patrick Royce. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, I'd like to get your, I think it was best memory of Sid. And I just got a gruff, he's like, yeah. I'll think about it and get back to you.
Never did.
Never got old.
No. Well,
I'm lucky I didn't get my head bit off in retrospect.
Sid's last moment with Vern and me was when I've told this story 20 times, when I was pulling into the Wild parking lot and they called me from the office and said, Vern Mikkelson died. Vern Mikkelson died. You want to write a column on that? I said, oh, I got to write that. So great guy. I knew him well. And
there's real nice
later
guy.
In life, I got to know him well.
Yeah.
Drove back in the parking lot and I called in Such and said, hey, Vern died. We gave him an obit. And I called in, and then I pulled this one. You could talk on your phone in the car, and pulled in the parking lot in front of the Star Tribune, get a call. It wasn't Vern Mikkelson that died. It was Joey Hutton Jr. that died.
No.
And Vern told Sid that Joey had died.
Oh, no.
And Sid got confused and thought Joey had told him that Vern died. So then I said, I didn't know Joey. You know, it was a good Laker, by the way, and also the son, of course, of the Hamlin legend. But so then I had to, but I got a call out. I called up Vern and said, Vern, I killed you off at, today at the on my call to the radio. In case you're wondering why people are calling to leave condolences. And so I wrote a column about Vern making the greatest comeback in the history of basketball. And he lived a couple more years. We had dinner once. He and his he came to J.D. Hoyt's for a big bash one time, but really good guy. He had a one of his big keepsakes was an all-star jersey, NBA all-star jersey with his name spelled wrong.
With his name spelled wrong
in the back, because I have to look it up all the time and got it some, whether it was S-E-N or S-O-N, because it was M-I-K-K-E-L and then S-E-N, or was it O-N? Yeah. Nobody could, you know, it was one of those names that but yeah, he was a, and then of course Sid was going to trade Vern to the Celtics and then get the number one pick and get Bill Russell. That was, he told that story so many times he believed it, which Arbuck denied, you know, later on. So anyway, what else we got? Well, oh, hey, Suter and Parisi. So who, if you're the Kraken,
yep,
who are you taking? The defenseman or the goaltender?
I'm probably taking Soucy, the defenseman.
Because they probably got other goalies to take, huh?
And I think they can take, so they can take up to three goaltenders. You could take Kapo. If I'm the Wild, I think I'd rather they take the goaltender because I can probably replace him with a backup.
Is Soucy a good player?
Soucy's a, you know what, he's just solid. Like, he's not he's not, but with Suter, they're getting thinner on the blue line than they were.
Yeah, they're getting out of this in pretty good shape, though. I mean, Soucy's replaceable, you know. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, as far as that goes, yeah.
But you do, you only pitching. Have, but do you have basically, if you lose Soucy, you got three defensemen then? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got Dumba Brodin, Spurgeon. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get that Ian Cole back. I think they're going to sign him back.
Yeah, now, yeah. There'll be a lot of competition for him.
But Soucy, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that can play a lot, so.
Well, the problem becomes that was your strength, right?
Yes.
Your defense.
So. Yes.
And this goalie is... There's got to be better goalies to take, I would think.
Yeah, well, that depends. Carey Price is available. He was exposed by Montreal. Mm-hmm. But now it turns out he's got some type of like hip problem that might need surgery, and he's got a big contract.
Oh, plus they're sending out that story that he's got a hip problem so they don't take him, right?
Here's what we don't know. What we don't know is, does the Kraken want to be what the Golden Knights were? Or do they want to take good young players and be more of an expansion team?
Except the Golden Knights have made it work.
Right. No, I know.
You know.
But I'm just saying if you take...
But I didn't. Part of the Golden Knights' success was the trades they made.
Yes.
Too, right?
But the Kraken had the opportunity to make a bunch of those trades and ask for first-round picks back. The team
really?
Said we can't do that.
Yeah.
So they basically were trying to... They were trying to make the same deals that the Golden Knights made with better returns.
Who's making their personnel decisions?
Ron Francis, the former Hartford Whaler and Pittsburgh Penguin,
who
was GM in Carolina.
What would his connection be with these owners, with the Lywickies? What would his connection be?
I think they just liked him.
They just interviewed people?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah, I think they went through a bunch. And, you know, he did. Now, he got fired in Carolina. So
if you're a new organization, why not give me somebody not recycled?
Because it's hockey.
Yeah.
They can't help themselves.
Yeah, you got to recycle.
They can't help themselves.
No, it's unbelievable.
It is still the biggest.
Did they get a coach yet?
Yeah, Dave Hackstall.
Oh, that's right. The most boring guy in the history of sports. They're not worried about selling, I guess.
Well, because they know they're going to sell out.
Oh, God, it's
but that's the thing is you don't have to win. They can sell out for three. They'll sell out for 3 years.
There won't.
Minimum.
There's no trendier foo-foo town and... You know, I hate the nickname, but it was genius because they could walk down the street in some other town out in the mountain or something and, hey, what's that? That's a Kraken. That's a Kraken. Give me one 100th percent of the first day's souvenir sales. It'll be unbelievable. There won't be anybody in Seahawks stuff. The poor Mariners are going to be like the step, even though they're improved a lot.
The Seahawks will be fine, but the Mariners will be forgotten.
Even though the Mariners are improved quite a bit, having a good year.
I told Phil now,
they're
too.
They're like the poor stepchildren.
I told Phil.
Oh, it's going to be...
You are a hockey guy because you don't have it. They're not going to have an NBA team until they get an expansion team where the Wolves move out there and become the Sonics.
Oh, I got news for you. The ship has sailed. I said this earlier today. You could bring the NBA. If you bring the NBA there now in 3-4 years, there's going to be zero excitement. By then, you're going to have a hockey town. You're going to have a hockey
town.
That's like,
what has the NBA been doing?
They're dummies.
But they're not. That's the weird thing. Like, this is a.
No, but I mean, they've given up Vegas and Seattle.
But I would have jumped on Vegas.
Vegas was made for the NBA.
Absolutely.
Decadence and
star power. I mean, hockey doesn't have really star power. The NBA is all about star power.
Ladies sitting in the front row with very limited clothing and stuff like that.
Yep.
I mean, with the 72-year-old billionaire with the 24-year-old gal.
Do you
in
know the,
front the
amount
row?
Of guys that would assign there?
Yes.
No income tax.
Yes.
State, there's no state income tax. You're in Vegas.
Yep.
So
I've said this, the great maneuvering of Stern and Silver has gotten them Memphis and Oklahoma City, and that dummy Gary Bettman has gotten Seattle and Las Vegas. I would say Gary Bettman has done damn well. Would you not?
Yes. No, in that one he has. All right, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All righty. It wasn't very unchained. Because it
actually started very
unchanged. The Twins have become so meaningless that they're not even worth getting upset about right now. I'm waiting for other things to get upset about.
All right.
Goodbye. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy, Josh, will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.